In the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Mark, we continue to learn about our vocation as an apostolic church. As I spoke about last Sunday, whatever we profess to believe, we want to practice it. So when we say, I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, what we mean to say is that we receive the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ through the apostles, and that the apostles were invested with the responsibility to ensure that the church remained faithful to that teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ handed on to them. And since that was not only a responsibility for the first century, for the time in which the apostles were alive, that task has been entrusted to the successors of the apostles, the bishops of the church. They, along with us, are called to live with fidelity to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the other aspect of being an apostolic church is that because we have been baptized into Christ, all of us are called to be representatives of the Lord Jesus. All of us are sent forth, which is what the Greek word for apostle means, to be sent forth, to be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to participate in the mission of the church according to our distinctive vocation. We have the common vocation through our baptism to be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, people who follow him within the fellowship of his church, but then we're called to live that out through our distinctive vocation. The mission of the church is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to make disciples, to build his church, to have a positive impact in our communities by practicing the principles of the gospel. In last Sunday's gospel reading, it was summarized as a reconciling mission. In response to the teaching of the Lord, the apostles preached the need for repentance, the need for lives to be centered on God, who is the very source of our lives, and to forsake anything that leads us away from God, that does not help us to live in a right relationship with God and with one another. The apostles also were involved in a liberating mission. They cast out demons. And while I'm sure none of us would say I'm an exorcist, we are called to root out whatever is evil in our society by practicing the principles of the gospel. The apostolic mission is also healing. For the gospel said last week that the apostles anointed the sick with oil and they experienced healing. And now in today's gospel reading, they come back. They had been sent out two by two to reconcile, liberate, and to heal. And now they're giving an account of their stewardship to the Lord Jesus. And obviously, it must have been successful because there are great crowds of people coming to follow them so that they could see Jesus. And that's what it means to be a representative of the Lord. We're not trying to say we're so holy, look at us. We've reached the pinnacle of the mountain of holiness and we beckon you to join us at the peak. No, we're on a pilgrimage with Lord Jesus, a journey of conversion as we strive to live as beloved children of God. And we invite people to join us on that journey. And there were many people who followed the apostles back to the Lord Jesus, but they were intrigued about the one who had sent these apostles. What we will learn later in the Gospel of Mark chapter 6 is that there were about 20,000 people, because right after this gospel reading, Jesus is going to feed about 20,000 people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. So they had a great impact, and that is why I can continue to emphasize, never underestimate the power of your witness to the Lord Jesus Christ as you try to follow him within his church. You may not see the impact, but it can reverberate across time in ways beyond your imagining. Certainly, the 12 could not even have imagined They didn't even know America existed. Could not even imagine that in the 21st century that we would be here at 9531 Liberty Road and then go forth into Northwest Baltimore County, southeastern Carroll County, and elsewhere to strive to glorify God with our lives. So there were tens of thousands of people coming to see Jesus as a result of the apostles following the Lord Jesus' instructions. And that is a lesson for all of us about what can happen in our societies as we put the principles of the gospel to practice in our lives. Certainly, there will be people who reject that witness, just as Jesus was rejected in the first verses of Mark chapter 6 in his hometown synagogue. But there were many people who would receive the message. But whether people receive the message or reject it, we're called to still be faithful to who we are as followers of Jesus within his church, to underscore that we're not involved in a popularity contest. We're not concerned about how people see us. We're concerned about being faithful in the sight of our God who loves us and who shepherds our souls. He provides for what we need. He guards us from danger seen and unseen. So the apostles come to Jesus. They give the results of their mission. And Jesus invites them to take a break. Come away now with me to a deserted place and take time to reflect, to relax. And that's what they were going to do in the Lord's presence. So the first lesson we receive here is that as we engage in the mission of the church according to our distinctive vocation, and I gave examples of that, parents raising children in the practice of the faith, are encouraging parents to do so, godparents supporting the parents in that way, married couples encouraging each other to get to heaven as well as their children, reaching out to people to see how they are in works of mercy, as many of you have done during this pandemic, to break through isolation, bringing food for the food pantry, to care for the needy. Some yesterday brought care packages for the homeless as a work of mercy. All done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all part of fulfilling the apostolic mission of reconciling, liberating, and healing. There are many other examples. But Jesus then says that part of fulfilling the apostolic mission is not only to be engaged in the work of the Lord, but then to take time to rest. St. John Paul II said to priests in Ireland during his first pastoral visit there, I believe in 1979, do not be so busy and engaged in the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord in the work. And so there are times in which we need to rest, to spend time in the presence of the Lord as the apostles did, to pray, to reflect on the scripture, to reflect on what has happened as we've engaged in the mission of the church in our own ways. So we need to do that. And otherwise we'll be no good for others. We'll get burned out. That's why I joke with people, you want me to go on vacation. You would not want to see me if I did not go on vacation from time to time. That's why I have no problem saying I'm going on vacation. One person in the parish thought I went on vacation too much. I didn't even think about that. The thing is that if the Lord Jesus could rest and ask the apostles to rest, I certainly could rest, and I have no problem doing that. So I think I work hard in the parish, and so I have nothing to prove to people about why I need to take a vacation. However, there is no vacation from our common vocation. There is no holiday from becoming holy. What happened in the gospel reading? So Jesus is going to take them out to a deserted place to rest. Those 20,000 people were there, and they saw that they were leaving, and they said, we're going to meet Jesus and them where they're going. Jesus and the apostles embark to their vacation spot, if you will. And you can imagine, as they are arriving, they see about 20,000 people there. Now note that the gospel does not say what the apostles said. I could imagine, you know, after I had getting ready to embark on the two-week vacation after this stressful pandemic period, if I had 20,000 people outside the rectory, that would not be recorded in the Bible there in terms of that. So the apostles probably were not happy about it. I'm going to guess, but they learned from Jesus that even though there's a need to rest, there is no vacation from their vocation. Jesus saw the crowds and was moved with pity. A better word is compassion in the original language. To pity someone seems like you're looking down on someone. To have compassion means we suffer with the person who is suffering. We're in solidarity with that person. And why was Jesus in solidarity with those crowds? They were going about life like sheep without a shepherd. And that's why Jesus came into the world. We had distrusted God and distrusted his directions for living, and therefore, through our disobedience, fellowship with God was broken. And so Jesus came to restore that fellowship and to invite us to follow his directions for living. So out of compassion for the multitude of the people, he began to teach. He didn't say, well, I'm on vacation. I'll see you next week. He began to teach them. Now, I'm sure there was going to be a time to have the vacation, but it was going to be delayed. But it reminds us that even when we go on vacation, there is no break from being a Christian. That's why, as we prepare for vacation, now as the pandemic is at this stage, I'm a little bit wary about whether we're going to return back to the bad old days as the Delta variant begins to wreak havoc in the United States. But nevertheless, when we take the time for vacation, part of planning our vacation is, where am I going to worship at Holy Mass? Will I take time each day during vacation to pray? Will I take time each day during vacation to look at God's Word? There is no vacation from our vocation as beloved children of God. There's a rhythm that we need. We need to engage in the work of the Lord and to worship him and to give witness to him and to be engaged in works of mercy. But then we need to rest and to reflect and to recharge and then again be about it. But we are still who we are. And we never want to submit to a temptation to say, well, you can take a break. You did all these things. God understands if you want to take a break from following the commandments because you did all this good work, so he's going to excuse that. No. Just as God is always God, we're created in his image and likeness, and we're called to be who we are called to be at all times, in all circumstances, because of the great love our Lord God and Savior has for us. And so, we ask the apostles to intercede for us before the throne of grace that we may listen and learn from the teaching and example of Jesus. We engage in the work of the Lord. We take time to rest and to recharge. And we continue to be who we are in every circumstance.